So, hey, it's bright and sunny outside. I hope you're enjoying a little bit of sunshine, what little we may have now for another few months, but that's what I want to talk a little bit about. Let's go to Matthew 5:14. And in Matthew 5:14 is a very familiar scripture. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Yeah, being a light. How do we do that? Do you bring light to other people? Are you even a light to yourself? Or do you bring darkness and gloom, not only in your own life, but to others? There are people, especially in this world, that are filled with gloom and hatred and violence, and they have very little light in them. The only light they have is what they think they know is right, but they don't consider what God knows is right, because God is sovereign. God knows what's right. And there are examples of both, people who give light and people who don't. And I remember a man, and some of you may remember him from years and years and years ago. And I used to be out front, and I guess I still am. But anyway, I always say hi to him, and I'd ask him, "Well, how are you doing?" And I can't remember his name. But he'd always say, "Rotten, just rotten." And he'd kind of say it with a little smile, kind of a little wink. But yet you talk to him, and there was a gloominess and that down and sourness to him. It wasn't light. And I don't know whatever happened to him. I haven't seen him in 30, 40 years. Don't remember his name. But yeah, not a real light bringer kind of person. Anyway, let's look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Paul is talking here to the Ephesians. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." So we're to leave the darkness, we're to be a part of the light, we're to be a part of those who bring peace and joy. And if we look over to Ephesians 4, he gives a little bit more example of what we should be. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So if you have these things, if you are, you know, long-suffering, lowly, not an aggressive, well, I don't know if I'd say that, but anyway, I was just thinking something. But as long as you're not you know, a person that is out there just for themselves, but are there for one another. It's what bringing a light means. There are more ways you can bring light than you realize, and you have more of an impact than you realize on other people. You may not think it, but your good works, your love of God, keeping His commandments, encouraging others, is a big part of being that light. And a lot of you are really great at all these things. Some of us not as much, but we're trying and we're struggling to do the best we can and be the best we can be. And as some of you know, or quite a few of you know, I'm a train guy, and I happen to have this book. It's about a little railroad that ran in New Mexico and up into Utah for about 40 or 50 years. Small little railroad. It played a very important part in recovering certain minerals that were very valuable and still are. The railroad quit about 1940, but the little railroad had the audacity to build their own locomotive. They had a number of locomotives, and they decided to build one themselves. And so I happened to be looking through this book, and here's a whole lineup of fellows lined up in front of this locomotive. There's 16 of them. And I don't know why, I hardly ever do this, but I started reading down through the names, and it starts out, it says, "The men who built her look proud. Two, from left to right, they are Doc Dunlap, William Carr," so on and so forth. Read on down, and it says, "Followed by a Seventh-day Adventist, whose name is not remembered, but he was remembered being a Seventh-day Adventist." I don't know anything about the man. Don't have his name, of course. But his light shone in the fact that he kept God's Sabbath in this very small community. It was a community of only around 500 people. And I don't know if there are other Seventh-day Adventists there that he kept the Sabbath with, or if he just kept it by himself, him and his family. But he was remembered, not by his name, but what he did in keeping one of God's great commandments, keeping the Sabbath. His light shone. You know, it's amazing. You may not think of it, but your light shows more than you realize. And this man, long since dead, and all these fellows I think are dead, but this book was written at a time when some of those fellows were still alive and they could name off who was in the picture, except that fellow's name. But they certainly remembered what he did, and that was keeping the Sabbath. So in being that light, we need to be an encouraging, giving, loving person, don't we? And if we look at 2 Peter, we all hope to have this said about us. 1 Peter. I won't find it in 2 Peter. 1 Peter 2:12. And I've thought about this scripture quite a bit at various times. 2 Peter 2:12. Here once again, Peter is now talking to a group of people, and he is saying, "Have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles," or you could say all peoples, friends, relatives, acquaintances, the man on the street, "that when they speak against you as evildoers," which will happen in the future, may not be happening to us now, but in the future it will, "that they may, by your very good works, which they observed, glorify God in the day of visitation," or in that time of the resurrection when they say, "Joe Blow, yeah, I remember you. I thought you were crazy. You kept the Sabbath. You kept holy days. You were always out there helping people. You were there striving and struggling with various issues in your own life, but you always had that happy countenance about you and that ability to say the right thing at the right time." Don't we all want this said about us in the resurrection? When those people were resurrected, say, "Boy, oh boy, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, he was all right. He was a good guy, even though I thought he was crazy." So that's something to strive for, is to have that said about us. And if we look at Matthew 25:33, it's what Jesus Christ had to say not long before his crucifixion, not long before he was taken. He said this about us. Matthew 25, 33 through 36. And another very familiar passage. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my fathers, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And was naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous answered, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When did we give you drink? So on and so forth. And Jesus Christ answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me also. Brethren, our actions and how we are a light to other people has a great impact on others and has an impact on us. It makes us who we are. Are we giving, sharing, loving people? Are we a light? Be a light.